If I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, but an obligation has been imposed on me. And woe to me if I do not preach it. These are the first lines of our second reading today. They come from St. Paul. St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And it's all about his obligation to preach the gospel. This was echoed actually in today's gospel when Jesus says, this is the reason that he has come. Jesus has come to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to lead people to heaven. And Paul shares in this mission. Right? St. Paul received the command or the mandate to preach the gospel. He was instructed by God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, to those who were not Jewish. As a priest, I, on a personal note, I rather enjoy preaching. Preaching is a unique experience, especially, you know, like preaching at the school masses that we have. It's a great joy to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, each and every one of us is called to preach the gospel. Now, maybe not, you know, at Sunday Mass from an ambo, right, after proclaiming the word of God, but every one of us is called to preach the gospel. The Lord calls all those who are baptized and confirmed to preach. Actually, one of the graces that if you have received the sacrament of confirmation, which a great number of us have in this church, one of the graces of the sacrament of confirmation is this. It is the ability to witness to the gospel, to preach the gospel to others, and also to defend the Catholic faith if necessary. This was one of the central teachings of Vatican II, of the Second Vatican Council, that everyone, all those who are confirmed and baptized, have a mission to preach. And this is what one of the documents of Vatican II says. It says, that I love the way that it's worded. The true apostle is on the outlook for occasions of announcing Christ. I love that. On the outlook of occasions to announce Christ by word. And it says, either to unbelievers, those who are not baptized, to draw them towards the faith. And then it goes on, or to the faithful, those people who are baptized, to instruct them, strengthen them, and incite in them a more fervent life of faith. And so, brothers and sisters, when we think about preaching the gospel, right, many times, yeah, we kind of react in with a little bit of fear, you know, because the word preach kind of has a negative connotation in society. If, if someone says to me something that I don't want to hear, sometimes we respond, well, you don't have to preach to me, right? Or if someone tells me something that I've already heard, we use that phrase, you don't have to preach to the choir, right? But preaching the gospel is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to share the beauty of the Catholic faith. An opportunity to share the truth of the Catholic faith. An opportunity to share the goodness of the Catholic faith. And so when we preach either by words, when we tell somebody about Christ and about his love and about his church, or when we defend the faith, or when we show others by our actions, this is a great act of love. This is a great act of charity to our neighbor, to bring them the truth, to bring them goodness, to bring them the beauty of the faith. And so we are reminded to be on the outlook, to be on the outlook for opportunities to do just this. Today, one of the most important ways to preach the gospel can be done by married couples. On the day of their wedding, married couples make three vows. They vow the vows of fidelity, permanence, and to be open to God's gift of children. Today, actually, we are celebrating World Marriage Sunday, so it's pretty appropriate. But married couples, in a special way, preach to all of us. They preach to me. I'll fully admit that. It's wonderful. And no matter who we are, whatever our state of life is, if we're single or married or a priest, young or old, whatever, married couples, when they live their marriage vows, they show me what it means to say God loves me. That's why married couples, when they live their vows, they preach to us. And it's a good thing, because they show us what it means to say that God loves us. Fidelity. When a husband and wife vow fidelity, faithfulness, it shows me that God's love is faithful. That when I sin and when I turn away from God, God is there to forgive me, there to welcome me back into his arms of mercy. Permanence. Right? God's love is not something that is there one moment and gone the next, but God's love for me is permanent. It is lifelong. And just as the covenant of marriage between husband and wife is indissoluble, not able to be separated, so God's covenant with us is also indissoluble. It cannot be undone. It is everlasting. An openness to children. God's love is fruitful. And God's love brings forth in me and in our souls the life of grace. Just as the love of husband and wife is so intimate that they are able to give that love a name when they welcome the gift of a child, so God's love for us is fruitful and it brings forth new life in the life of grace. As a priest, when I see healthy married couples, and to be honest, when I see many of your marriages, when I see many of your marriages lived out faithfully, it is helpful for me. It is encouraging and it preaches to me. And for this reason, I would like to say thank you. I'd like to say thank you to those married couples who are faithful in living out God's plan for marriage. Thank you because you show me and you show us what it means to say God is love. God bless you. Amen.